Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, you are tuned in to the Lone Officer Podcast with me, Dustin Owen, and my main man,
JC.
John Coleman.
Dio, what's poppin'?
JC, you remember that one time that we were in Tampa at T-Lop Live?
I do. It was like a week ago.
And we kicked off the event,
mm-hmm.
And I said, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children 18 plus, and I said, JC. You said JC.
The crowd said JC. Yeah.
And I forgot to say John Coleman.
It's all right, though.
Yeah. Is it all right? I feel like I goofed.
It doesn't matter. We can do what we want. It's our show. There's no such thing as goofing up.
Well, guess what?
What's that?
I'm going to make it up because we're doing T-Lop Live O-Town, baby.
Again?
Orlando. Again, John, damn, we're going to do this 16 times in 2023.
This shit. I mean, yeah, I cannot wait. LFG, always and forever.
Yes, John, LFG. T-Lop Orlando is being announced right now.
Okay.
It is going to be in Winter Park, Florida, which is just north of downtown.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to be on March the 2nd. The same exact format that we used in Tampa. We're going to do it again in Orlando this time. With some better tweaks and adjustments to make the event that much better. So we partnered up with First American Title. We partnered up with Urban Young Insurance.
Shout out Urban Young.
And literally, it is going to be strategy, motivation, tactics, all packed up into a free, yes, John, I said free. That's your favorite four-letter word.
Yep.
A free half-day event. It's free thanks to the sponsors.
Shout out to the sponsors.
So, you're going to get that up on the website this week, and it is going to be limited seating. I think we found a spot that holds up to 70, and normally when you do a free event, you can probably RSVP a little bit higher than that because something always comes up and not all of the RSVPs show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to tell you, you're going to want to check the website, go ahead and plan it if this is something that you're into, right? If this is learning from those that do what you do for a living, which in this sense is loan origination, they do it at the highest level. If you want to come learn from them at a free half-day event, that's what T-Lop Live is going to be. That's what it was in Tampa. That's what it's going to be in Orlando. Coming to a city near you. We're already planning out West Palm. We're in talks of doing Dallas. And I thought at one point we were going to be doing Birmingham, Alabama, as well as Atlanta, Georgia. And my friend, shout out to Gwen Swain. Gwen's begging us to get out to Boise.
Damn.
I'd love to get out to Boise, especially during ski season. Maybe we can get out there before the snow melts.
Yeah?
I doubt it. The calendar's already starting to book full. But at some point, we're going to get out to your market. Right? So that's pretty exciting. And when we get there, I won't screw up the John
Please,
Coleman.
I just want you to do all the talking. I'm the silent Bob to the J or whatever.
JC. I like that reference.
Penn and Teller, I'm just a quiet brains clearly behind the operation, but I want no parts of the celebrity.
We're going to get you up on stage. We're going to get you smiling. We're going to get you talking, answering questions. John, at one point, you're going to start teaching mortgage loan originators how they can podcast and become their local community expert and podcast for profits.
Mm.
You and I podcast to educate, motivate, inspire, and entertain, right?
Yeah.
In fact, I like to think of it more of like edutainment, right? That's what we do. We do edutainment.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to straight up help people make money.
I am.
Well, at one point, yes, John, we're going to convince you to teach podcasting for profits.
Better get some of that money.
Yeah, where it's less about how many views, how many viewers, how many subscribers.
Right.
And it's more about how many relationships that I forge utilizing my podcast.
Correct.
Yes. But today's episode, John.
Yes.
Today's episode, before we get into it, I'm going to be talking about this all year long. Chat GPT. You know what it is, right?
Chat GTP.
GPT? But did I say that right?
I don't know. Is that an acronym?
No, it's the AI. I'm going to butcher this. Someone's going to make fun of me, John. You're supposed to know this. You're the tech nerd.
I tapped out after TikTok came out. I don't give a shit about tech. But go ahead, explain. What is this, AI?
Yes, you can create an account. I did this over the weekend.
Oh, God.
You can create an account. You can literally prompt it to say, write me a 2-page paper on why investing in yourself is so important.
Uh-huh.
And then the bot,
yeah,
the artificial intelligence,
right,
just real time in front of me, a freaking 2-page
essay
paper essay on it. And it was pretty good.
Get off the internet.
It's just getting started. Get off the internet. John, us talking about this technology right now would have been like someone talking to you in 1993 about the internet. And you'd be like, I don't understand it. You mean you can't talk on the telephone because you're talking through the computer, but you're not using your voice, you're using words on a keyboard?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. And you're like, no, it's not, man.
We are living in the final, this is like Black Mirror season 2, episode 4, Twilight Zone. But go ahead, you signed up.
I'm just going to tell people, look, either get on or get off. But the train is moving in that direction. Oh my God. You can either get on it, you can get off it, John. Chat GPT.
Chat GPT.
Yes.
How did you find this?
Well, it's in the news.
Check, not there. I'm not there.
It's in the news. And then I saw our friend Renee Rodriguez post something about it.
Okay.
And I asked my 17-year-old about it. He goes, yeah, Dad, I use that to help me study for AP Calculus. True story.
AKA, I use that shit to help me write my papers.
I don't know what to say to that, John. God. You may be wanting to accuse my blood.
If he's doing it right, senior year, he shouldn't be doing no damn work. What the hell? This is his final semester? You should be coasting. Gym class, yoga, stretching, painting.
AP, man. It's difficult getting into these colleges and universities.
You know what my curriculum
John?
Was my senior year? Do you have any idea what it was?
We don't want to talk about it.
Finger
John.
Paint. It was like outdoor yoga. I was like, I get 3 credits for what? Sign me up.
Oh, jeez. All right. Well, we're going to nerd out a little bit today.
You're going to nerd out.
Yeah. Well, you're going to listen and you're going to ask questions.
I know. I'm going to ask questions because it is a prevalent topic in today's marketplace.
It is, y'all. I just got to let y'all know. And I'm not even trying to be like that clickbait type guy, but this may be a clickbait type
episode
except with some substance behind it. Y'all, qualifying for a home loan, it's getting more confusing right now. And it's getting more difficult. So here's a couple of things that are transpiring as we speak, February 2023, specifically conventional conforming home loans, right? That's Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, which, by the way, is literally half, if not greater, than every home loan being originated today is a conventional conforming, which means that it is backed by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, okay? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac offer liquidity to the market by being the number one buyer of home loans. Home loans get packaged into mortgage-backed securities, which is a bond. That then gets traded to pension funds, life insurance companies, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So if it weren't for Fannie and Freddie, we would not have a 30-year fixed mortgage, right? That's the reason why Canada doesn't have a 30-year fixed mortgage and the UK doesn't have a 30-year fixed mortgage. They don't have Fannie and Freddie. We have Fannie and Freddie, a quasi-government agency that offers liquidity to banks and lenders. So they are basically a forever buyer. We create loans, they'll forever buy them from us as long as they meet their specifications. Well, we have done episodes recently on LLPAs, loan level pricing adjustments. And we talked about what they are, right? Just, hey, what is an LLPA? Because if you're a mortgage loan originator, you darn well better know what they are. But if you sell real estate for a living, yeah, you should understand that's what impacts your borrower's interest rate, why there is no such thing as a one-size-fits-all mortgage, why someone asked me the question, hey, Dio, what's your rate? I'm like, what do you mean, what's my rate? I don't know. What are your 28 key factors I need to figure out? Then I can quote you an interest rate, right? It's a terrible question. And it's also, for a consumer, you should know, don't ask what's your rate. Ask, what rate do I qualify for? And is this the best interest rate loan structure for my financial needs, wants, and goals? So we've talked about just what are LLPAs. We've also talked about a recent change, was a phenomenal change, where Fannie and Freddie said, we need to make homeownership more affordable to first-time homebuyers. These LLPAs, loan level pricing adjustments, or risk adjusters, are potentially, and quite possibly, making it more preventative for more first-time homebuyers to buy, because the risk adjusters make their interest rate higher, and that interest rate being higher makes it not attractive for them to go buy. So they said, hey, if you make under a certain dollar amount and you're a first-time home buyer, we will waive the bulk of our LLPAs, essentially making your interest rate more attractive in hopes of attracting more first-time home buyers in the market. We did a whole episode because I think that's phenomenal. As a salesman, as a marketeer, I want to sell that to the community to attract more referrals.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there's another LLPA change coming out.
But wait, there's more.
But wait, there's more. This one, don't know where to go. I don't know where to go with what I'm getting to say. I'm going to pick and choose my words wisely. First and foremost, there are some people in the industry that are literally calling these changes Robin Hood changes. We are taking from the fortunate and we are giving it to the less fortunate. Because there's changes that are potentially going to harm those with higher credit and harm those with more money down. And by harm, come on, let's call it like we see it. Is it harm or is it just
an inconvenience for me, in my opinion?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like the rate is still better. It's just not that much better in comparison,
mm-hmm.
right? So if we used to compare a 740 credit score with putting 15% down, let's say their rate was 0.5% better than someone with 5% down and a 640 credit score. Now it's only going to be 0.25% better. It's still better. It's just not drastically better. But I also see the other side of it where it's like, hey, yeah, but we're penalizing people who put money down and have good credit so that we can subsidize people with lower credit and less money down. Yes, quite possibly. Sure. I'm not going to argue that. Look, I'm just going to try to state the facts of what's going on and why it's becoming more confusing. The confusing part is less about Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And by the way, this comes from their conservator, the FHFA. What they're attempting to do, the goal is to attract more first-time home buyers into homeownership, to make the barrier of entry lower, to make those hurdles less. And their statistic analysis may show very well, based on their actions, that people who are first-generation home buyers, people who are maybe marginalized in certain communities, also tend to have less money to put down, also tend to have lower credit scores. So instead of drastically penalizing them, they want to only slightly penalize them for their lower credit scores and for their low down payments.
Mm-hmm.
But Fannie and Freddie are still operating off of some kind of a budget, right? They still have to report earnings and they still have to give their profits to the Treasury. And like there's still a business behind Fannie and Freddie. So if they're going to not make as much money on certain types of loans, low FICO, low down payment, they're going to have to make it up somewhere else, right? And that's where the whole Robin Hood analogy came into play. But that's not what's confusing. That's just what's going on. And sure, any change is confusing because the world that I used to know is now the world that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But, and by the way, I literally read this morning through the Mortgage Bankers Association, and shout out to the MBA. They are the number one, the top advocacy group, lobby group on behalf of banks and lenders across the U.S. But they are literally petitioning to the FHFA saying, guys, girls, this is nonsense, some of the changes. Like, this is so confusing and so detrimental to how we operate, how we quote rates, how we pre-approve or approve borrowers. I don't know if you truly understand what you're doing. This is the change I'm going to talk about. This is the big one. Never before have Fannie and Freddie imposed a loan level pricing adjustment if someone's debt to income ratio, aka DTI, exceeded a certain threshold, right? It was either you qualified or you didn't qualify based on your DTI. I either ran it through automated underwriting and I received an accept, or I received an approve eligible, or I received a refer. If I received a refer, I could always downgrade it to a manual underwrite, at which point, when I'm manually underwriting a loan file, which means I'm not using a computer and its algorithms to spit out approval, then I have to follow the most conservative guidelines available, which is a set DTI of, let's say, 43%. Well, right now, Fannie and Freddie are now saying, with these new LLPAs, which start with loans that we deliver in May, well, a loan I deliver in May, I very well could have closed the end of March, beginning of April, right? So these are changes that are impacting rate sheets right now. And then in some cases, in 2 weeks, but across the board this month. Well, there's an LLPA or a risk-based adjuster, a hit, if your DTI is over 40%. Well, here's the crazy thing, John. When you're buying a home, we, as the lender, up front, don't 100% know your exact DTI. So I'm going to quote you a rate based on things you tell me, based on assumptions. But things that factor into your DTI, A, your income. Well, what if me, the loan officer, calculated your income at $7,212 per month, but after the underwriter reviewed it, he or she disagreed with me, or we couldn't verify certain aspects of the income in order to meet Fannie and Freddie's requirements. So now we're using $6,875 a month. Good news is, John, you still qualify.
Okay.
Bad news is your DTI just went from a 38 to a 41. And that interest rate I quoted you, I can't deliver, John. I know I locked you in. I know you went with me because of that interest rate. But, well, underwriter came up with a different income for qualifying you. And Fannie and Freddie, who is, by the way, is the number one purchaser, right? They offer the local liquidity facility. They are now imposing a risk-based assessment that all of a sudden makes your interest rate more expensive. That brings more uncertainty to the market. As an originator, I don't like that uncertainty. As a consumer, you don't like that uncertainty.
But wait, if you locked me in, how can you change my rate after you locked me in?
Well, change of circumstance, I hope. That's a whole nother topic. Am I even going to be able to change your rate or no? Am I not? Is that not a valid change of circumstance? I would let the attorneys and the compliance professionals weigh in on that. So then does that mean that my mortgage company just takes that on the chin? Now we thought we were going to deliver this loan and make X. Now it's going to be X minus $700.
Do they beta test this stuff or just roll it out? And then when the yarn gets all tangled up, they're like, oh shit, look what we did, and try to like untangle it. I'm sure they're smarter than me and I'm sure they thought about this, but it just seems like kind of willy nilly. Like, oh, let's just see what happens. We make this baking soda and vinegar together. Oh, it just seems like, I don't know, very.
No, you're on point, John. That's exactly how it's done. It's just rolled out. Like, I'm sure they receive some feedback, but I'm sure some things just go overlooked and some things are like, yeah, I know it's going to be an issue, but we'll figure it out. The market always does.
Right? Hey, yeah, market, we'll figure it out.
They'll figure it out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I haven't worked for the FHFA. Me and Sandra Thompson aren't like hanging out. I would love to, Sandra, by the way. Would 100% love to go to dinner with you next time I'm in D.C. Maybe go to like old Ebbets Grill or something like that.
Right.
But no, we don't roll that way just yet. So I don't know what decisions are made. I know I'm available. I know I'm a street level as they come.
Right.
I help run a mortgage company. I'm pretty tied into loan production. I talk to consumers still. I think I have an idea of like things that they can be on the lookout for. This is going to be an issue. The fact that your interest rate is going to be determined by your DTI. Right now, I can qualify you on a conventional home loan, conventional conforming, up to a 49.99999% DTI, John. I can run you through whether it's Freddie Mac's LPA, which is their automated underwriting system, or whether it's Fannie Mae's DU. And based on compensating factors, I can get your loan approved. And currently, you got the same interest rate. Whether you had a 49 DTI or a 39 DTI. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, no, different interest rate between a 39 and a 40.
Right.
Yeah. So a higher interest rate. Here's other things that go into interest rates. Homeowners insurance, real estate taxes, HOA dues. What if I pre-approved you assuming that your homeowners insurance was going to be $100 a month, but it came in at 150? Oh, all of a sudden the extra $50 puts you over that threshold. What if the first home that you were looking at, and I quoted you an interest rate, didn't come with an HOA dues. Now all of a sudden you're buying in a community that's gated with a tennis court because you and your wife love playing pickleball.
Right.
And now it comes with $100 a month HOA due. I now have to qualify you using that. Now your DTI went from a 38 to a 41. Good news is you still qualify. Bad news is your interest rate is higher. All this is transpiring on top of we used to have this LLPA chart and it was pretty consistent, right? The higher your credit score, the less LLPAs you paid. The more money you put down, the less LLPAs you paid, for the most part. Now it's like trying to decipher some kind of a AP calculus algorithm, but you don't have ChatGPT to cheat from.
Right.
You're like, what?
So what is this up to the loan officer to decipher it? Because, you know, I'm sure the consumer really doesn't know what's going on. And if it's new for the loan officer, doesn't that mean that they're going to be kind of looking around with their hands up being like, what the hell?
Most loan officers these days have never been trained to read an old school rate sheet. You used to have to make all these adjustments on your own reading an old school rate sheet. And those that learned on an old school rate sheet, i.e. this dude right here, I've been using computers to price out loans for a decade. I'm sure I'm a whole lot slower than I was. So it's good. LOs need to know, because LOs are the face for the industry, right? LOs have to be able to properly estimate total cost to a consumer, although the LO and their lender only make up something like 10 to 20% of the total fees. It's still the onus is on us to be the person with the most knowledge. Mm-hmm. So we have to be able to explain and teach to both the consumer as well as to those that refer us the consumers, right? Like, who refers loan originators? Well, realtors, home builders, CPA, financial advisors, those types of professionals need a great LO in their back pocket. And I need to be educating those people. Hey, look, by the way, there's no such thing as a one size fits all mortgage. We've known that. But there's also no such thing as a one size fits all interest rate, because the interest rate for John is different than John's sister based on credit score. Now the DTI, is it a condo versus a single family home? Is the home in Massachusetts versus in Florida? Mm-hmm. So on and so forth. And that chart used to be a whole lot more crisp, clean, common sense. Mm-hmm. Now it's not. So a pricing break you used to receive, you now may not receive. And a pricing hit you used to absorb now may not be a hit at all. So it literally, when someone calls me and says, what's my rate? It's like, ha, ha, ha. Seriously? What's my rate? I don't know. It'd be like having something really funky going on with your body and wanting to have the doctor give you a diagnosis on some kind of a teleconference.
Yeah, just over Zoom, bro. You can't tell me what's wrong with me.
Yeah, it's like, no. I need an MRI, a PET scan, a CAT scan. I need to do some blood work. Mm-hmm. Plus, I need you to come in so I can look in your earballs, look up your nose, and look down your throat.
Earballs.
Did I say earballs?
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Eyeballs and ears. Yeah, those are your earballs. Yep. Down your throat, the whole nine yards, maybe even up your butt, John.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to figure out what is ailing you, that's kind of what it is to prescribe an interest rate. Mm-hmm. It's like, it used to be a best practice. Hey, look, man, I can't really commit to a whole lot until I've received your income documentation, your credit report. I've verified your income. I've verified your employment. Mm-hmm. I've verified your assets. I've run you through AUS. Now it's like a mandate, right? Like, the way that they're making it, it's like, look, I can't give you an accurate interest rate quote until I've received all of that. And then it's still going to be variable, because more than likely you're not under contract yet. So I don't know the home that you're looking to buy. You can't go get an insurance quote on a home if you don't have the property address, nor can you look up what the taxes are. And taxes and insurance and HOA dues all go into your monthly payment that all impact your DTI. You see where I'm going with this? Like, wow, home ownership, purchasing a home, qualifying for financing just became a lot more unpredictable. The good news is, and this is where it's not going to be clickbaity, y'all, you're still going to qualify. Y'all, we're still going to find a way to do a loan for you. And if your rate is an eighth higher, you're talking $32 a month. Like, it's not going to be life altering. And I'd be the first person to say, if $32 a month, if $65 a month is going to sway whether or not you buy a house, you don't buy the house. Mm-hmm. You just don't. You're not ready. You are not ready. So then it makes me question, well, what is the FHA really trying to do? Are they trying to entice people by making their payment $65 less per month? And are those the type of people we want buying houses? Oh, I read a very cool excerpt today. It was in Rob Chrisman's daily, right? It's a daily email that I subscribe to. You can subscribe to it as well. It's free. And it basically said that interest rates, whether they're 3% or they're 6%, it doesn't make homeownership that much more affordable. Meaning, and this was what the study said, thought it was really cool. Let's say homeownership at a 3% interest rate, let's just say that 65% of American households were still priced out of owning a home. Let's just say that. When rates went to 6, that only increased by 20%, right? So like when I'm talking about these interest rates, whether it goes higher or lower, either saving you $65 a month or costing you $65 a month, what I'm telling you is that that shouldn't sway whether or not you buy a house, because if you can't buy a house, like over $65 a month, it makes me really worried that you're not going to be able to afford the upkeep, right? Maybe you're not ready. And then the studies kind of correlates. It's like, look, I know we have more people wanting to buy houses when rates are at 3% mm-hmm. versus 6, but even if rates went back down to 3, which they're not, we're going to be lucky if they get down to 5, maybe next year 4.75. But you're not impacting that many people from buying or from not buying. Just FYI. Check it out yourself in Rob Chrisman's. It would have been the one. What's today's date? The 6th or 7th? Do you know?
6th.
Yep. So I think this will drop on the 7th.
Yep.
Yep. So this is recording on the 6th of February. You can go back and read it for yourself. All right. So that's going on. My last change. Like, hey, guys, girls, FYI. And this is not new. This happens periodically throughout every year. But Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, they're going to be tweaking their algorithm. They're going to be making changes to their desktop underwriting, their automated underwriting system. Those tweaks and changes are projected and predicted to mean that they're going to be accepting less case files. Meaning, LOs, listen to this, because you may have pre-approved someone in November, December, or January of this year, November, December of last year, and you received that almighty approve eligible. Realtors, that's what you want. Borrowers, that's what you desire. But, well, Fannie and Freddie are going to change things up. They're going to become a little bit more conservative, a little bit more risk adverse. And something they were accepting just a month or two ago with this latest release, this latest software update, it's going to be more restrictive. So LOs, here's my words of advice to you, branch managers, CEOs, presidents, owners of mortgage companies. Y'all need to be going through your pipeline of pre-approved borrowers right now. You need to find those that were marginalized in terms of not marginalized, they're marginal, not marginalized. We want to help the marginalized all day, every day. The marginal, those that were tight when it comes to DTI. You're going to need to rerun them through AUS once these changes go through. Now, better news, there's some of those borrowers that maybe they had low-ish FICOs, like still qualifying. Maybe they're 640, maybe they're 680. Well, some of these LLPA enhancements are going to benefit them. So not only are rates coming down going to benefit them, but now the LLPAs are going to be less or less impactful. That may benefit them. It won't be enough to probably offset the tightening of DU and LPA, but it's just something to be cognizant of. Realtors and home buyers, I just geeked out a little bit. Here's what I need y'all to know. I need you to know that the systems and the computers that we use, the software that we use in lending and banking, in order to issue your pre-approvals, they're going to be accepting or approving less, right? They're going to want a higher file quality. What does higher file quality mean? Lower DTI, higher FICO scores, more months in reserve, like those types of things is what they're going to be looking for. So someone who was walking a tightrope to qualify just a few weeks ago going forward, when these changes go through, you very well could lose that pre-approval. So you'll want to make sure you update everything before you go and spend money on appraisals and home inspections and start giving fat down payments or escrow deposits to sellers, right? That would be the more difficult aspect. So it's kind of a give and take. The give is that, hey, look, if your FICO is low and your down payment is low, we used to penalize the hell out of you in terms of your interest rate by having these excessive LLPAs. We're drastically reducing those for you all that are in that bucket of low down payment and low FICO. Low FICO to me is anything under 700, okay? All the way down to 620. But we are going to penalize you if your interest rate is higher, if your DTI is higher than 40. We used to not do that. And oh, by the way, we're tightening the types of loans that we are accepting. So it means we're going to be accepting less loans. Wow. Again, unpredictability. It's every reason why realtors have to make sure that their buyers work with someone that they know, like, and trust that's accountable to them, right? Because it's that realtor's paycheck on the line, right? It's that seller's future that's on the line, right? That seller's trying to sell their house so they can go do something. If that home doesn't sell because the buyer wasn't working with a good lender, right? A lender knows what the heck they're doing. What's a better word for
competent?
Good? Competent, John. That's where I was trying to go.
Yeah.
A competent lender, then yeah, shit can get sideways quickly. It's for home buyers. It's every reason why you have to work with a lender that knows what the heck they're doing. Because it's more than just an interest rate quote, obviously, duh, right? There's a lot at stake. Changes are afoot, and we need to make sure that the person you're working with is aware of these changes and is working within them. But yes, things are becoming less and less predictable and dynamic. Some beneficial, some not so beneficial. But I think it's something that we all need to be aware of.
Well said, Dio.
There we go, John. So hopefully that at least gets people's mindsets pointed in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Look, you can check with your favorite loan officer. You can check with your branch manager, your operations manager. You can go read the Fannie Mae updates. You can subscribe to the Fannie Mae weekly emails that talk about these type of DU updates, DU releases, lender letters, LLPA changes. Right. That is what I am encouraging highly to anyone in the mortgage space. Home buyers, your encouragement, you need to work with a lender who knows all of this and who's able to operate within them. Realtors, you need to have local lenders that you are tied to, that are partners of yours, that are accountable to you and your clients to make sure that your commission check is always in the right hands of the right lender, and so that your reputation is also tied in with someone who knows what's going on. Our job, mine and John Coleman's, was just to make you aware of it, right? To try to put some of the geeky language into a little bit of a more conversational language. Now that you're aware, you can go take this information and do with it as you please.
Preach.
Other than that, here's all we ask. Because we're going to end this episode, John.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the greater Central Florida area, come see us on March 2nd, TLOP Live Orlando. The information will be up on our website, which is TLOPOnline.com or TheLoanOfficerPodcast.com. That website is chock full of additional content. I'm talking training videos. I'm talking about resources to guidelines, resources to
industry publications.
Yes, blogs that I write.
Yeah.
Message boards.
D.O. be authoring now.
Like literally, check out the website. It is, the bulk of the content is free.
Say what?
Is free. If you want the best of the best content, I'll give you an example. If you want scripts, they're free.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to hear me pitch or present those scripts.
Small donation.
It's a small monthly donation of $25 per month. You can cancel any time. Check us out on YouTube. Follow us on Insta. Check us out on Facebook. And please, if you listen on Spotify or Apple, give us that 5-star review. Share this content with anyone that you know that would benefit from this. We greatly appreciate it and we say thank you. His name is John Coleman. My name is Dustin Owens. The only time we have for you today. We will catch you in the next episode.
Bye.